How are you?
May I welcome those who are here for the first time and welcome those back who were here before. You have in front of you an agenda and also a summary of the minutes from the last meeting. A couple of remarks from the chair before we look at the summary of the minutes. Would you pass this down to the mayor, please? Anybody else come in? Before beginning with the agenda, I have an information note here from Mr. Hum, who will be here about 10 o'clock. He will be in. Tom Hum will be in about 10 o'clock. Before we begin again, I think we should again have those who were not here introduce themselves so that we know who's present this morning. Or maybe we go around again. I'm Carol Wayman.
Mrs. James Bingham.
I'm just one here.
James Mead.
I'm Mike Amador.
Ed Buffer, City Attorney.
Frank Kura.
Mike Schaefer.
George Stevens.
Joe Vincent, San Diego Black Conference.
Leon Williams.
John Johnson, San Diego Urban League.
Joe McGuire, Access.
I'm Mano Wilhelm, the Assistant City Manager.
Glenn Allison.
Phil Del Campo, San Diego City Schools.
Kent Rowe, Jamie Tribune.
Louise Dyer, Barbecue.
George Hall, City Schools.
Colin DeGrange, Recreation Department, City of San Diego.
Dallas Walt, UIC.
J.W. McLean, ABC.
Montemo, ABC.
James Oxley, Minister of Bethlehem Church and the General Black Conference. John Keller, District Attorney.
George McKinney, Economic Opportunity Commission.
Rosemary Lang, Project
Bill Gore, Inspector, Police Department.
Sergeant Williams, Police Department.
Bob Dent, County Supervisor.
E.J. Campos, Midwood House.
Al Cali, OCRC.
Our recorder.
Dagny here from Secretary, City of San Diego.
Mrs. Dyer is here representing Dr. French, Board of Education Chairman, who could not be here this morning. And Mr. Wilhelm here is representing the city manager, Mr. Walter Hahn, who had to go to the doctor this morning, the first thing. So he will not be able to be here. And we have the mayor who is here this morning. Glad that you made it, mayor. And Inspector Gore, who is sitting in for the police chief. I think that covers those who were absent before. That gives us a round table. The couple of remarks, perhaps. Those of you who were not here before, we have these sessions to effect some kind of face-to-face dialogue, a conversation between representatives of the community and public officials and a few others to discuss the problems first and then to look at ways and means by which we may effect solutions that are workable and acceptable or effective means for some of the changes that are perhaps necessary. You have here some minutes, but before looking at these minutes, let me explain. We have not yet worked out all the mechanics by which we can take 39 or 40 pages of recorded conversation and transcribe them and then edit them and come up with a summary within 2 weeks yet. This is a problem we're working on, and today this summary represents the first attempt to summarize those many pages of notes. We should look at them, get some reactions to them, but with the understanding that this is a summary only, and the one subsequent to these will probably be a little more complete. Shall we then take a look at the minutes and have any reactions that you might have to them before starting with the agenda? I suppose it would be good if someone read aloud and we simply followed. Phil, do you want to read these aloud? we can follow them, and then we'll at least we'll know where we are. On page one there, the meeting opened with
statements by the chairman regarding the multiple purposes of this dialogue. The most obvious purpose was to have the participants meet face to face. In addition, it was to provide the opportunity for minority community persons to bring to public officials their concern about specific problems and suggest that concern briefly as well. For public officials to state their problems and suggest possible actions they might take. The aim is to create an atmosphere in which community persons can meet with public officials to frankly and openly discuss racial problems and arrive at mutually acceptable action programs for a long-term as well as a short-term basis. There was a brief outline given of the series of meetings that led up to the present one. Initially, a group of Negro representatives met at the request of the city manager to discuss problems facing the community this summer. A series of meetings followed in which representatives of the Mexican-American community were included. These meetings were unstructured, informal, and without agenda, and covered a wide range of topics related to city-community-minority group relationships. Initial emphasis was on the implementation of programs to solve immediate problems this summer and revolved around employment and recreation primarily. The Neighborhood Youth Corps program, City Summer Training Intern program, jobs for youth with private employers, use of school recreation facilities during the summer, teen posts, Project Summertime, and management of teenage audiences attending community events were among subjects discussed in the seven meetings held from May 22nd through July 26. Participants included representatives from the Urban League, NYC, CIC, NAACP, Neighborhood House, City Community Relations, Recreation, Police Department, and City Schools. At the last meeting, the group discussion turned to long-range solutions to the total problem, and it was agreed to invite public officials and top-level leadership of the community who are able to affect change to future discussions. Several of those present from the community voiced objections to the absence of the mayor and the police chief and asked that these officials be notified of the group's concern that they be present at future meetings. General discussion then followed on, quote, the problem as perceived by minority members of the community. Tom Johnson was asked to summarize these perceptions as stated at previous meetings. His basic premise was that we live in a society that recognizes the normalcy of discrimination and that the actions of that society flow from a framework of accepting discrimination as an American way of life, or way of American life. Prejudice exists in this country and in San Diego toward Negroes and other minorities, and we are living in a racist society where equal opportunities are a matter of debate. Additional comment was made that members of the white community don't seem to accept the fact that there is a problem within the city of San Diego, and there is a vital need for information to be articulated to the total community, and that many feel this should be done by the mayor. It was mentioned that, quote, the problem is not unique to San Diego. It's an American problem. But from a number of standpoints, San Diego is in a unique position to do something really constructive and to become a model city in this regard. The time is right now when things are manageable to take enlightened steps forward. Too often cities lose their opportunities and wait until violence occurs, at which time they react. The time to act is before, not after things become out of hand. An important part of the problem is the poor attitude held by the white community toward Negroes and other minorities, an attitude of indifference, of believing that minorities don't want to work or have good housing, that they are inferior and want to be on welfare, the attitude that devastates minorities that have cultural differences. The problem that racism exists must be recognized before any method of action to solve problems can be agreed upon. The dynamics of what is done have to flow from a framework of recognizing racial discrimination as an American way of life. The problem as such is centered in the total community. It was pointed out that racism and religious discrimination cannot be equated, for one, it is against what an individual is, while the other is against what he does. An individual cannot change the color of his skin. The suggestion was made that public officials admit openly and make pronouncements about what's wrong with this society is racism, and that is something that must be done about it. The problem has not reached its peak. If it is agreed that this is a racist society, the next step is to realize that people are not forced to be racists. They are racists by choice. A city that wants to start a campaign saying, try San Diego first, visit San Diego, buy San Diego, etc. If we can spend that much money campaigning to the public at large to try San Diego, buy San Diego, then you can do something similar to start a brotherhood campaign. A campaign of be brothers or love each other or some similar line. This is a long-range program to reach the racist in his natural habitat. Now, between this long-range goal, there are functional things that can be done to meet the needs of the minority communities. While we talk about the problem, while we delay in taking positive affirmative action to move toward a real attack upon the problem, the more difficult it becomes to arrive at a solution, because lines are being drawn between black and white, and things are getting worse. The problem of the Negro is a special problem, not equated to those of immigrants who come to this country. We systematically have tried to destroy what the Negro, who came to this country under duress, brought with him from diverse cultures. The topic was raised of progress that has been made in improving the lot of minorities. And it was stated that conditions are improved, that we are coming to the point where people one day will see the differences between black and white. Exception was taken to the fact that actual progress has been made, and it was remarked that while from society's definitions, certain advances had been made in employment, education, police community relations, etc., minorities could demonstrate that in actuality, things are not improved, but are worse, and the things that are being done do not reach the majority of people in need. Examples were given of the lack of Negro representative in Congress as compared to that in 1870. The increase in the gap between the average earnings of non-whites and whites from 1800 to in 1960 to over $2,200 now. It was suggested that public officials might raise the problem to a level of public awareness by discussing such things as why a non-discrimination clause is inserted in contracts, that this might be a method of communicating the fundamental problem. The question was raised as to what assurance there is that when a Mexican-American is apprehended by a police officer, he is informed of his rights and understands them. It was pointed out that a form pointing out these things in both Spanish and English is given to him, and his signing indicates understanding. If there is a problem, Spanish-speaking officers are available to assist in interpreting. Comment was made that as the dialogue drew to a close, viewpoints seemed to remain the same. On one hand, black people are saying the problem is racism. On the other hand, officials are saying that progress has been made. At this point, perhaps the next step is to attempt to do things which are functional, and the suggestion is that the city bear witness to the idea of working toward a brotherhood program, an organized program like that for the stadium, Mission Bay, and Try San Diego First. At the same time, it is the obligation of non-whites to bring their practical problems to this meeting table and communicate them to the city. It was added that the question of brotherhood is a mutual responsibility, that each side has done its share of rejecting overtures of friendship. Some of the best minds of the community are at this meeting, and if anyone can develop a program of mutual brotherhood and reaching out the hand of friendship, it is this group. The alternative of brotherhood is fire, violence, and riots, and it behooves those present as responsible citizens of the community of San Diego to evaluate and to begin a program of brotherhood to encompass the total community. In closing the meeting, the chairman suggested that the next meeting be devoted to a discussion of specific problems and suggested actions and implementations toward solution. He stated that he would meet before the next general meeting with a number of those present to work out an agenda. He reiterated certain members' objections to the absence of the mayor and the chief of police and suggested that a letter expressing those objections be drafted. It was stressed, however, that this letter should come from those members voicing the objections who had been involved in meetings leading up to this one, rather than the total group called together for this meeting, the next meeting, etc.
Thank you, Phil. Are there any corrections or reactions, additions, deletions, etc.?
May I make a suggestion?
that relates to the minutes and to the agenda. In looking at your agenda on page 2, I notice a reference to contractors for Bell Junior High School, so I'm only trying to use this as an illustration. If, when the agenda was prepared, an effort was made to alert the particular unit of government that here is an area on which there will be discussion, then it would be possible for the representative attending the meeting to be knowledgeable in detail. Now, in this particular case, I'm knowledgeable in the general way only. The business manager is the one who could have supplied, our city school business manager could have supplied me with the detail to be knowledgeable in detail on this item. So I'm only suggesting that it would help all of us to communicate better if, as in the case of this illustration, we could have an alert so that we can do our homework, because, again, we have specialists within our organization that could have helped us, in this case, could help me to be prepared to talk to this point at the meeting, whereas if this becomes a topic, I can only talk in general terms and not talk accurately in detail.
Cal, we can handle that by mailing out a copy of the agenda with the notice of the meeting a few days ahead of time.
When the mechanics are worked out, I think that would be the desirable step. And Mr. Hall's comment is well taken, I think. Happens that this morning we probably won't get to that particular item. Yeah,
I was only trying to illustrate for future planning rather than to make much of this as a detail.
Any other comments? Reactions? All right, we were to draft a letter. We have a copy of the letter. If we cover the mechanics of the minutes, we have a letter that we sent to the people involved. It may be read again by our vice chairman.
This is addressed to the Honorable Frank Curran. Dear Mayor Curran, on August 18, 1967, the expanded city community dialogue met in the 12th floor council conference room in the community concourse. In attendance were two distinct groups. On the one hand were community representatives who had met on 6 previous occasions with the city manager's office. And on the other hand were public officials, members of the press, and other guests. The community representatives, at the last of their 6 meetings with members of the city manager's office, reached 2 basic agreements. 1, that public elected officials be present as a condition for an expanded and continued dialogue. 2, that in the absence of 2 of 3 of these named public officials, subsequent dialogues would be terminated or adjourned. The 3 named officials were the mayor, chief of police, or his deputy, and Councilman Tom Hum. At this August 18th meeting, the community representatives expressed strong negative feelings of resentment, of hurt, and of insult by your absence. For it was only after a lengthy but heated discussion that this dialogue got underway, with the understanding that this authorized letter communicating those feelings directly would be personally sent to you. Because of the importance of these dialogues and the great need for an ongoing face-to-face interaction, we are looking forward to your presence at our next meeting on September 1st. Sincerely, Carol Wayman.
Thank you. That covers all but one, I think, of the mechanical things, and that is the meeting of some of the group from here and working out the agenda and looking at items covered in the previous meeting. The agenda represents summary thinking of a group that met on one occasion, about 9 of us, and then on another occasion about 3 of us. So the agenda is worked out in agreement with the previous discussion in terms of the minutes. Before then looking at the getting underway, may I take a moment on number 2, looking at the agenda, item number 2, the format for this particular meeting. It is hoped that we will follow the first 5 agenda items in that order so that we can involve public officials from the beginning, and then later can look at number 6 in terms of a separate and independent issue, that is methods and techniques as one kind of approach, as opposed to talking about the problem at the same time and suggesting solutions or methods and techniques. So a word or two, I suppose, would be on the problem itself. We define the problem before, on the one hand, by minority groups, which accept as an unalterable, unequivocal truth that the problem is fundamentally that of racism with all of its ramifications. On the other hand, there are some who perhaps do not accept this as the fundamental problem. And thus, while it may appear strange to some, there is therefore likely to be debate on the acceptance of the problem as well as on the problem itself. Therefore, if we allow some time on number four, some kind of reactions to the framework in which we're going to discuss specific areas of the problem, it may be more beneficial for all of us. I hope, therefore, that we would follow number five through before getting to number six. And finally, I hope that we will be able to specifically to talk about specifics as well later on. So, if you will turn over and look at page two, from which Mr. Hall was reading, you will see some of the specific areas for public stances as the group agreed upon. It is not intended that we cover in detail all of these particular specific things today. This is a list of some of these specific things, however, that are of major concern to the community persons. For John and those who just came in, here's an agenda for you. Something points you out, John. It just so happens that it's hot this morning. Would you like some coffee as well?
Thank you. I'm sorry I'm late, but it's part of my ethnic background.
Well, in as much as we have some other culturally deprived here, John, you're all right.
Thank you,
Dan. We are looking at the page two of this agenda. It is not intended that we cover all these specific items. Obviously, that may be impossible in one meeting. But we have 14 specific things here, and number 15 allows you, to add your own others. These are specific things. After we therefore cover the problem, get some public expressions, we should like to then separate out methods and techniques and the specific items on page two. That's all from me, except one statement. The community persons agreed that the problem as they see it is one of racism, and they wish to the discussion to be in terms of whether or not public officials and others see this as a general framework in which we should start discussing specific problems. Yes.
Would somebody define racism as we are going to discuss it here today?
I think we have the expert in the room again who gave it to us the last two times, and I'm sure he would be glad to give it to us again after he finishes with his coffee or gets his himself together. Tom Johnson?
I don't know what an expert is. I really don't know how to define racism except to think out loud on what it means to me. The only thing I can do is repeat what Bill said before, and that is an acceptance of the normalcy of this thing we call discrimination. And with all due respect to Mayor Kern, I'll use an example that I've used before to illustrate what I mean. And that goes back to the 3 or 4 weeks ago when the gentleman from Secretary McNamara's office came to San Diego to convene a meeting of mayors of four cities to discuss discrimination in housing against servicemen within a certain proximity of the base. And in my opinion, whether or not Negroes should have equal housing opportunities is not the question. The question is, why is this a legitimate debate? And as long as we work at trying to are accepting the normalcy of the existence of discrimination. I guess I'm saying that this is racism or a racially oriented society. What needs to be done is to forget about whether or not Negroes should have equal housing opportunity and start tackling the question of why is it even a legitimate debate. When we get to the answer to that question, then we're face to face with something that something about our society that makes this a question. That's the thing that we need to answer, is what is there about the society that makes this a legitimate debate? Now, the answer to that is what I call racism.
It was spelled out in a little more detail, Mr. Dent, the last time, and maybe someone else wants to elaborate on it, which is all right. Ed?
The word bothers me and evokes it to my mind, being a lawyer, words are the tools of my trade. The word racism evokes in my mind Hitler Germany. It evokes in my mind a concept of apartheid in South Africa. It evokes all of the raw, deep problems of the Nazi fascistic kind of government and of a South African concept of apartheid. And if that's what you mean by racism, and if you use the word racism in that sense and in that context and in that historic meaning and apply it to San Diego, then I would respectfully decline to agree to that as being the definition. If you mean by racism racial discrimination and discrimination against people on the basis of color or national origin, and if you use it in the sense that it is a reality in our lives in San Diego and elsewhere in the United States, that there does exist a racial prejudice in those terms expressed in forms of discrimination, both overt and subtle and unarticulated, then I can accept it. But I wanted to put that on the table because the word has these historic connotations to me, at least, and I don't like to think of it in those terms.
I can accept your latter explanation if you will couple it with, and I think this is really important here, couple it with the fact that it is an accepted thing in our society.
Racial discrimination is an accepted thing
in American society. We accept it as normal.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
And this is the thing that we have to address ourselves to. As an example, the thing that I mentioned, an insertion of the assigned equal opportunity employer. Too often we are telling our people, when we insert a non-discrimination clause in a lease as an example, the community has an opportunity with this, and it's communicated in such a way that it feels proud that it allows the city officials to do this. What needs to be communicated to the community is that the reason it is done is because the community supports and maintains a system that makes it necessary. So there is no reason to feel proud because we insert a non-discrimination clause. This is only confirmation of the kind of society that the community is supporting and maintaining. And they should not feel proud, they should feel just the opposite. This is what I mean by it's accepted as normal.
I'd like to comment on and add another dimension to this, Carol, if I could. I would disagree with Mr. Butler in a sense. I would disagree because in a majority society who controls everything, and this society then takes advantage of those who cannot fight for themselves or fend for themselves. This is not as deliberate as is in as it was in Nazi Germany, but it is just as difficult to work out problems that might accrue because of the differences in the majority and the minority community. Therefore, there is a subtle aparte
existing in our society, which people are running away from. And the very fact that we say it may differ from Noxa, Germany, does not make it any less prevalent in San Diego. Now, it is not as obvious, people will deny it, but it's subtle. And I think this is where we are right now, because we refuse to face up to the fact that a majority group that controlled everything has taken advantage of a minority group through racial discrimination, through prejudice, through attitudes of prejudice and so forth. Does that make sense?
That's
why I would disagree.
It should be also clarified that within the United States we have two types of racism. One is the invisible and the other one is the visible. In the southern states we have the visible. In California, the western state, we have the invisible. It is easy to fight or to ward off the visible, more easier to do that than it is to ward off the invisible. It is better for a black person to see a sign outside of an employment office that says, "We're not hiring black people today," than it is to go in the employment office in the city of San Diego where there's no sign and it says, "Don't call us, we'll call you," and he never gets the call. This is more of a, I would say, hurt, because you never really know. But we'd like to know, and I think this should be clarified, that there are two types. So here we have the invisible, quite hard to describe California.
I'd also like to, I think, kind of address myself to the remarks which Attorney Butler made, and that has to do with the solution of a problem, it seems to me, is somehow appreciating its dimensions. And it seems to me that unless we appreciate the depth of the dimensions of racism and within the white community, of the depth of the hatred, and I can only point to what seems to me a fairly good example of this that's currently taking place in Milwaukee. And that is where the white community of another national origin is also stoning the police and is carrying on a way which evidences the most violent kinds of hatred of one human being for another. Unless we realize that at base, at least some of the racism we're talking about is of that magnitude and could certainly easily have been within Nazi Germany or in the Union of South Africa, that is the depth of the magnitude of the feelings with which we're dealing. That there are some people whose hatred of other people because of the color of their skin or whatever is of the kind which is murderous and is of the kind which gave sanction to the organization of the gas chambers and so forth, and as a matter of fact would support those kinds of structures, fascistic if you will, which would deal with this problem. So all I'm saying is that I appreciate in its institutional form what you're saying is that we don't have those kinds of institutions here, and that's true. And insofar as its totality within the society, that's true. But as the basic kinds of feeling of man toward man, some of the hatreds that are here were the same kind that are there and exist in Africa and existed and probably still exist to some extent in Germany today. So I'm saying if we're going to deal with it, we have to appreciate the kinds of forces we're coming up against. My other comment on that would be that I think this is kind of appreciated. It's the violence which is incipient and the power of the violence and the power of those who have this kind of racial violence is appreciated, and I think particularly by the city fathers, in that they give so much of their time and attention to trying to ward off, to sidestep, to not offend those forces. As one public official of this city told me, I don't want to be a dead hero. I don't believe in dead heroes, which was his way of saying, I do not wish to take a public stance which is going to mobilize those forces which are racist in nature to come down on my office and, as a matter of fact, unseat members here. What he's really saying is you're better off with a compromise of us who are not going to make waves than somebody else is going to stand up and say, I'm a racist, I'm opposed to the whole thing. So I think we appreciate the magnitude and the power and the force and the violence underneath. And I think this has to be taken into account when we're defining the problem. Otherwise, we're going to be, it seems to me, again, applying kind of ameliorative measures. We're looking for band-aids when really what we're asking for, it seems to me, is a very forthright stand. We've got a very moribund patient. This patient's about to die. And unless you recognize that fact, then you're going to be doing things which are inappropriate.
Joe, just a comment.
Okay. You still have a comment?
Yeah, it was just a couple of questions that I wanted to ask the attorney. And that was the first thing, what is it that, what is the underlying causes of apartheid or fascism, or what is it based on?
Yeah, I wanted to make clear that what I was suggesting is that when you use the term broadly, without being sharply differentiating in your meaning, that you bring along with it the legal structure of a society which made possible the emergence of fascism in Germany and which makes possible the existence of an apartheid society in South Africa. And if you mean to say that we have here a legal structure which makes this possible, then you're wrong. What this says, really, there are two layers you talk about. I think that we have the legal structure which does not, in legal terms, seeks to afford people of all race, color, creed, or national origin, seeks to afford them equality of opportunity as a national policy and as a structure of our law, at least in San Diego and at least in California. The structure of the law intends to assure everybody equality of opportunity, equal treatment before the law. I'd be the first to say that underlying that is this inarticulate, subtle discrimination that you speak of here that works in this fashion, and that's if this underlying area is what you're talking about, and you mean racism, I prefer to speak of it as racial discrimination. But I would violently disagree with anybody that says the legal structure of our society is patterned after those racist societies of South Africa.
What I was getting at is that would you agree that it's the same type of mental state that causes apartheid that also causes an individual to discriminate against another?
Why? I wouldn't be prepared to answer that. I don't think so, but that would be a long debate, I'm sure.
In other words, to discriminate in the system is something different than to discriminate at random.
Well, I don't know what you're saying there, Joe.
Well,
let me
go. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I would like to make a motion here that we adopt the agenda series item. We've gone off on a tangent on defined terms, and we have deviated from the agenda. I move that we adopt the agenda series item, meaning take 1, 2, 3, 4 down.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we accept the agenda series item. Questions? All in favor? Opposes? We shall follow then the agenda. We have already done number 1, the summary of the previous meetings. Format will be as follows. We will have expressions from public officials regarding how they see the fundamental problem, both in terms of definitions or in terms of the solutions, even though we haven't covered these specific problems. Can we then, Mr. Den, if it's all right, if we've elaborated enough upon your definition of racism?
I have several definitions. I can choose the one that I
right. For this format, let's say then that the racism that we refer to, or that we accept here as the basis for our discussion, is that we use in that which we use in common parlance, meaning that not discrimination because of height or because of weight, but rather those actions solely based upon color of skin or national origin. This brings it down specific enough for us then to be meaningful in our discussions. We're talking about discrimination then based only upon race or creed or national origin per se. May we have then some expressions from those present, any public officials who wish to share with us their feelings about stances or public positions with regard to the fundamental problems in San Diego? Mike, you're smiling. Did you
want to? I'm waiting for the mayor. Mayor is the political leader of the community.
That's the first time I heard the council admit it.
I'll say it again.
For these bridges.
Yeah. For these purposes.
I don't have any expression at this point until we get talking about some specifics. I thought that we did on the definition there did cut off the discussion prematurely, because all of the problems, every problem that emanates from this or any other level of government, I think is involved in one very basic deficiency. I've said this over and over and over again at many meetings. And whether we're talking about specific racial problems, or we're talking about specific economic problems, or we're talking about paving a street, or I don't care what you're talking about. Communication is the toughest one. And I've long contended that if I know what you're thinking and you know what I'm thinking, our decisions aren't going to be too far apart. It's that gap in between that makes the trouble. And in this problem of communication, certainly is a problem of semantics and the use of words. And what may mean one thing to one person probably means something entirely different to another person, the same expression, the same word. And as Carol has pointed out to me many times, the glossary or the dictionary of terms that should be excluded from vocabularies, particularly of public officials, because of certain connotations that they have with other individuals, outside the scope of our comprehension. And I think we have to dedicate ourselves to, first of all, understanding these words. That's why I think that we have prematurely cut off the discussion on the definition of the word racism to start with. Because it doesn't do a bit of good. It doesn't do a bit of good.